your team had a pretty good regular season and then seemed to hit a bit of a wall with the playoffs. And we've talked a lot about learning and et cetera, et cetera. Is that the big focus for you as a coach to get them to be as good in the postseason as they were in the playoffs next year?
No, the primary focus at the start will be getting back to the start. Just list the teams that made the playoffs 2 years ago and didn't make it this year. And that idea of everybody, and the players will, and people will use that idea of taking the next step, and we'll assume that that means going farther in the playoffs. Really what it means is playing that game again that gives you a chance to make the playoffs and becoming consistent with that game. And then you want to get to the playoffs the next year having fewer questions about how you're going to play, hopefully with good health. And because of that, you can be a little quicker. And that's going to be, and that's the difference in the series that you watch, in the games that are won and lost, all the other variables, I understand. But as a group, and then you will have a little more belief, right, and a little more experience. But, hey, but the reestablishing now where we started will be priority number one.
Mark Scheifele's first player drafted by Kevin Cheveldayoff and is in many ways for a lot of people in Winnipeg sort of, you know, the symbol of the draft and develop program. And he had a better regular season, and then he said today that he struggled against those two big centers from Anaheim. And he called himself, he said, "I'm still a little kid." What do you see from Mark and his improvement and where he needs to go next?
Well, he's getting a little craftier with the media. He's figured out one thing, you know, there's times to work a little bit on it. You look at the time when Brian went down, especially, and both he and Adam, and he played a number one role. I thought he excelled in that. We're hopeful in some ways that Mark Scheifele would struggle against Getzlaff and Kessler, so that when he's their age, the guy that he's playing against will struggle against him. Great experience for him. And again, we play as a line and we play as a group of five and as a team, so want to be careful about that. But we've got a guy in his second year in the National Hockey League that played in the two-hole for the very big bulk of the year, at times was our number one guy. And we can argue the merits of Malkin and Crosby and a couple other teams, but would have played against the most difficult center ice in the playoffs. And was close, but he will feel the way we all feel. It just wasn't good enough in the end. It doesn't mean it won't be or it won't get better. I'm excited about where he's at. And Adam's play is part of that too, how those two guys switch off with each other, the roles that they'll fill.
Coach, we've only been able to talk to some of the players today. Would you be able to elaborate a little more on some of the injuries you had at the end of the series? We know about, we spoke to Andrew and Jacob, so right, we're aware of their situations. Would you be able to add anything?
Yeah, I mean, so Brian came off. And Dustin came off kind of rib dislocations that healed, but never got good, which were a challenge for him. Matty Pearl, his injury earlier was a high ankle sprain earlier in the year, which became a version of a low ankle sprain, bone bruise. And when he got hit from behind, he ripped some ligaments off his hand and some bone off his hand. He could play with it, but he felt it. We've got some other guys that kind of had minor fractures, if that's possible. But they'll just heal, right? There's nothing to those. We've got, and the reason that I'm not more forthright, this, I haven't, for me, you got to get permission. You can't go walk into a doctor's office and grab somebody's records without, you know, we've got, I think probably three surgeries. You know, we got a couple shoulders we're going to have to look at. So the standard things. I've always been amazed at what they're willing to play with, what they can get through. But we had, as I said, we had eight guys dealing with fairly significant injuries.
Since your arrival here, would you be able to put your finger on the thing you've your team has improved most on the ice in their play? An X's and O's thing or a strategic thing?
I would keep it general because I think that's the correct answer. An overall improvement and understanding on how we're supposed to move at five, as five players. So not just are our forechecks better or our neutral zones better, but we're not where we'll get to next year. We will look more systemized, even though it's the same systems. We'll just be better at it. It is so much about the frequency that you run it. And as soon as they get to that point where they're not thinking about where they just know, then they get quick. That's when, you can take a team that doesn't have great speed and have them look very, very quick by a real solid understanding. I think in order to do that well, to do it really, really quickly, you've got to go almost all defense first. So you got to take those defensive systems and hammer them home. And it'll hold you back offensively. And we really didn't want to do that. We still wanted to generate some. We still wanted some freelance in the game. Let the players, because at the where you're trying to get to is system perfection, which can't be attained, but really solid defensive systems and the freelance offensively that allows your skilled players to be skilled players. So we didn't go all out hard on defense, holding players accountable to where the puck was turned over all the time. But I think, once again, a very long-winded answer of saying, I think in general, I know the players have a far better understanding of where they're supposed to be most of the time and how they're supposed to move together. Oh, for sure. And the question that you asked the other day about kind of the difference, and that's the difference for me. And I firmly believe you should beat a more talented team. You can beat a more talented team, and you can beat a faster team. But the quickness that's supplied comes from that. It comes from a few years of playing the same game with the same philosophy. That's where the quickness and that's where the edge is, and that's where we're trying to get to. I think we have lots of room to improve in that.
I know you said that was the long-winded answer, but I actually wanted you to elaborate on that, because talking to the players, they've said that, you know, one of the successes of this year is they now have a blueprint by which they can follow to get better. So I guess this year was a lot about learning that blueprint, having made the gains you've played this year. What does that do for you now to have so much better an understanding of that blueprint heading into next year?
Well, it goes back, we'll relate it to kind of the question you asked about lessons learned, right? So we feel we've learned some lessons in the Minnesota, St. Louis wins, but yet we failed to be able to replicate them at the end of the year holding leads. So it's the same idea. We do have a blueprint. We have a starting point. Those all have to be reestablished. So it's not going to be, okay, we've got that covered off, and now we can just work on these five things. The foundation has to be gone over again. But, I already know that the training camp has changed with what the first 4 days are going to look like and how we're going to run that camp and what we can do this year that I didn't feel comfortable doing with our team last year. We're going to see more scrimmaging in them in training camp this year because I trust the team now to scrimmage the right way. So that's not just going up and down the ice, moving the pucks. The veteran guys will sit on the bench and explain to the new guys, this is the system we're running in the neutral zone, and we're going to practice, and we practice at this level. So you can do more things and different things, but it's still, we have to reestablish. We're not there yet. We're at 60%, maybe 70% of where I think we can get to from that system's point of view.
So back to lessons learned and talking with the Ducks throughout this series, they talked so much about how much they learned the year before. What do you want your players, and there's probably a million different lessons, but are there general lessons you want your players who have learned and take away from this series?
Well, how hard it is. I'll give you back some of the feedback in the early meetings, how hard it is to get there and then how intense it is once you do. Those things will be remembered. And it'll change the level. That's why it was so important, and I clearly didn't say this, but was feeling it every time you asked. It's so important that you did make the playoffs this year, so that it just wasn't the coach saying, hey, you got to work really, really hard so that you can to get there. Now they understand how hard it is to get there. And then what that playoff round was like. And it's good that we hit. It's not good because I'm wearing jeans today, but it's good that we hit a team like that. very fast, very quick, some high-end talent, and they'd been there before. You look at the other playoff series, we just played as good a team as there's playing in the National Hockey League right now.
Tyler Myers had said that he's going to try and convince Drew Stafford to stick around. I know it's not your department, but you have a vision of how you want your team to play, so you've got a vision of what players can help you attain that. What role do you play in trying to shape the team going forward right now?
So over the next period of time, and we have time, I'll probably take the contracted players that we have and put them on the board in maybe one or two different roles. So the team can look like this based on the structure that we have, and then the team can look like this. And we can fill these holes differently by how we look at that. So then it's the guys that you can keep and the guys that you can't. And I'm gonna leave the holes on the board, and at training camp I'm gonna take the names we have and put them in those holes, and away we go. I'm going to be, you know, really, really brutally honest in my assessment of each one of those players from a positive and a negative point of view. And then Kevin has to weigh that in terms of the resources we have to sign them. So that's why you don't have these meetings right now, because you got to get away from that playoff series, because I will be in a worse mood in 5 days than I am now. I'm just sliding into depression here. And then when I come out of it, then we can talk about our team for next year.
Given what your group has gone through, do you think it's an easier sell?
You know what? I'm sorry about using that word, because I know that's a serious subject, but I didn't mean to be casual or flippant, because there's people that deal with that. But I'm not in a very good mood today.
Just as a follow-up, given what your group has gone through in being a together group, do you think it's an easier sell, or the Jets are a more attractive team than they were a year ago?
I think it's a small hockey community. And people find out what rooms are like because of free agency now. Long gone are the days of, you know, John Ferguson Sr.'s rule of not talking to the guy on the other team. They've played with five of the guys on the other team, and they call them friends. So that will get out. It's a really important piece to who we are, that room develops those bonds and continues to develop those bonds until that becomes the Winnipeg Jets way. Why it's important that Andrew Ladd and our three captains, I mean, they didn't just buy into it, they ran with it. That was their creation, not mine. How that room got to by the end of the year. But Shifley and Lowry and Trouba now live that, and that will be the way they view what a hockey locker room, a dressing room should be like. And when it's not like that, the red flags will go off and they'll deal with it. Developing that, I would think, was one of top two priorities in our room this year.
Paul, just to adopt with the number of injuries that you had this season and the adoption of a new style of play, is there a coincidence to that, or do you feel like that played an effect maybe on the number of injuries?
I think we actually had fewer injuries than you would have thought of, given how hard we play and how much we hit. Like, I would say 70% of what we dealt with were broken bones. And, you know, a couple of them came off our own shots. I think Bogosian's or one of Kaner's broken bones, we hit them. So, and we're not over-blocking, like we're not laying down. And I didn't think our style of play increased that. I think our style of play allowed us to survive it. And our style's not going to change. That's not the right way to do it. How hard we will have to play to be successful, the acceptance of that isn't going to change. Our style may change by players. You know, you're going to get different size players, different skill sets. So we don't expect Matty Perreault or Brian Little to be crushing guys. I mean, they try to because they want to be part of the team, but we don't have that. So I'm not down there saying everybody's got to hit like Thorburn. So your style may change, but that effort level is not changing, and we are going to have injuries playing in this conference, and far more important than your injuries are how you survive them. We got better through our injuries. We came out better teams. We found players. We added players, and we were a better team by the time we got healthy in the three-quarter pole than we were all year.
A lot of lip service was given to Anaheim and the fact they have Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaff and that really, you know, high-end caliber skilled guys. Not that there's a lack of skill on this team, of course, but the idea of adopting that style of play, would that become a more difficult sell if you had maybe a few of those, maybe not those two guys because of the way they play, but if you had guys that maybe aren't used to adopting kind of a team physical style? Like you
I would, I can understand if you call me on this and point out two examples, but I would say that our style of play is not different. You look at their hit rate, and even in this series, they were a bigger hitting team at times than we were. And over the course of the years, they have that. They are very fast, and we're trying to get to that. Again, the area that I thought, I never really, and maybe it's just starting in Hartford and moving through Carolina to Toronto, those Toronto years, I've never valued the talent on the other team as the reason that we couldn't beat them. You can beat talent. Well, we got into the 0-2 final and we couldn't beat talent, so there you go. I've just argued against me. I mean, they got 11 guys in the Hall of Fame, I think, on the Stanley Cup that year. But you can mitigate that with cohesiveness, with quickness, with playing as a team. I think we play a very similar style to Anaheim.
Blake said that in the past the team was always pulling in a million different directions and everybody was kind of on their own page. Can you take us through how you began to sort of untangle that and begin getting everybody onto that same page?
You probably have a really short conversation and admit there are 100 different ways to play. And there's 1,000 different elements to the game. But you got to pick the 3 or 4 things that you're going to be good at that. And you got to hold that as a truth in your room. We're doing these 3 or 4 things. It was easy is not the right word. Identifying those 3 or 4 things was not overly difficult when you watch this team play. And some of those things have we've moved on or we've added to it. I thought from watching them before I got here and was watching those games, I mean, they were working their butts off. They were all over the ice, and it wasn't necessarily bad all over the ice. I know what you know what they were trying to do. They were trying to score every time they touched the puck. I mean, they were flying. They were gone. They didn't really help each other out a whole lot, which must have been more frustrating for them because their effort level was high. Now, you would look at it and say, I don't know, Coach, that they're working that hard. I mean, there's another 3-on-0, and there's the guy up the ice. Like, I understand sometimes non-cohesive play sometimes looks lazy. That wasn't the case here. So we picked the 3 or 4 things that were important that we needed to get better at. We got a little bit better at it early. We got a lot better at it this year. But there's other things. They worked hard last summer because when they came to camp, there were 3 or 4 outliers, and they stood out. Where last year there were 14 guys that were kind of in the middle, and they didn't stand out because they blended in. Now they don't blend in anymore, and that's where my expectation is for them coming back this year.
Paul, every coach likes winning, but you seem like a coach that likes to sort of see the development of a team and where it's gone. How much did you enjoy this season, or do you not enjoy that? Or sort of putting that plan in place and then seeing some results, no matter how long it takes. Do you enjoy that process? Did you have fun this year?
I'm going back to the start of your answer because that's a dangerous one to let go. I like winning a lot more than anything else. No, part of that is experience. Part of that is the function of the teams that I've coached. We've at times had to hit home runs to be close to that playoff bar, not necessarily get in for sure. And we've had some hard-working teams that kind of hit some playoff home runs at times, but they weren't quite right there. I have more fun coaching this team than any other year I've ever had. Big piece of that is I didn't drive to the rink at practice, and I definitely didn't drive to the rink at games in a sweat about how hard we were going to try to play tonight. You feel the responsibility behind the bench for how your team performs, and if your team's not playing well, I mean, you're embarrassed, like, for yourself. I mean, that's my job. The nights that we didn't win, and the nights maybe we didn't, I never had that same feeling. It worked. These guys worked. They came out ready to play. my feeling after losses is usually I got to find a better way to help these guys win, because they gave a good enough effort and they need more from their coach. You know, they need more of a place to go. I enjoy this group. We got good men in the room. It's nice coming to the rink thinking I may have to pull back on these guys a little bit today because they're going to go too hard and we need to rest.
What do you want more of? What do you need more of?
Everything, right? Everything. More, better coaching. I mean, that's what I'm going to look at this summer. Got to find a way to get that quickness, to get it defined in their minds so that they're quicker and that they understand what we're doing to the point that they're not asking on the bench. Not that they were doing that a lot, just get them to be as good as they can be individually so that they can be better.
I wanted to ask about expectations and on a couple of different levels. The players are talking about a standard being established in the room of work, of understanding, of commitment, and they expect that standard now as the base for next year, the starting point, not an end point, but a place that you continue to grow from. So that standard is obviously quite high now, higher than it was before. And so the players are coming in with an expectation of some sort of step from where they've moved themselves to. And then the fans have seen this team go from preseason projections of last place to making it to the playoffs. So you've got expectations from your room, you've got expectations from the people in the community, and you're talking about going to camp and just kind of reestablishing and being aware that the playoffs are not a rite of, you know, you don't get that just because you made it one time. So how do you sort of present all of that?
Well, it started today. So I'm aware of all of that, and that being a huge challenge. And it's just even in the way you worded that, you know, the third part of that you use were like kind of reestablish. That it's, so I will think of it in far stronger words of it's a primary importance that that foundation gets reestablished and built on. You're down, well, let's see. We come out of the gate 1-4 last year. It's a great opportunity to explain why now our preparation wasn't good enough. We weren't investing enough in preparing for the game itself, for what was happening in the game, and how we reacted to it mattered. Okay, coach, we're 1-4, I'm buying it. It's going to be a completely different set of emotions at 1-4. So don't look at it at our team. Take a look at a Stanley Cup champion, why there's so few. An outlier Stanley Cup champion, maybe one that wasn't in that President's Trophy. There's a 2-1 game early in the season. They're down 2-1 before they won the Stanley Cup, and they're in the fight. Man, we can do this. We can come back, and we can win. And that next game played a year later, this is bullshit. We shouldn't be down 2-1 to these guys. We're Stanley Cup champions. It's the arrogance that comes with some success. And it's why, and I'm not sure if he's in it, but Mike Yeo, in my mind, should be a front runner in there as coach of the year, because for 2 months, aside from the mumps and all the injuries he had, that's what you were reading out of there. Hey, we made the playoffs last year. We're better than this. This is a disgrace. This is a crime. It's unacceptable. That is an animal to deal with that's very hard to contain. And he did a masterful job of that. Yes, the goalie came in and changed, but the team was prepared to accept that change, and off they went. And the run that he went on in our division, in our conference, was spectacular. I mean, that was a special piece of coaching from a coach's point of view, right? That's the beast that we have to worry about. That somehow that we've learned that lesson, right? That it's a straight line. Well, we learned it last year. This should be no problem. We'll get right back at it. Maybe more difficult to learn those lessons next year. So that's start with my messaging today. I didn't, I'm not nearly as good as people I think I am now, and I'm a hell of a lot better than people probably thought I was before I got here. The players in the room are better than people think. Better men made this possible. Good staff, we worked hard, we did a pretty good job. We didn't win a playoff game, so I'm not looking for any medals.
Thanks, Throw him, try to get Chevy in there.